The ANC's National Executive Committee has said that they're not entirely uncomfortable with the idea of a state of emergency, a state of disaster, to be declared over the energy crisis. And Cyril Ramaphosa said at the end of that ANC Lekgotla that work is underway in the government to ascertain whether the requirements for the declaration of a state of disaster can be met. And he says this will be further discussed at tomorrow's cabinet Lekgotla. I quote the president, "It was observed that it would be necessary to have a national disaster because that would enable us to have the instruments that would be necessary to fully address the challenges that our nation faces." And then we had the new Secretary General of the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, addressing a media briefing earlier today and saying that the ANC felt that with a state of the emergency and other interventions, it could bring load shedding to an end by the end of the year. And I am sure I am not alone in linking the ANC's sudden express concern for the power crisis in South Africa with the fact that in the next 14, 15 months we'll be having a national election, general election, and there is plentiful evidence that this is the one issue which could contribute significantly to the ANC falling below 50%. Professor Anton Eberhardt joins us now. Anton, good afternoon.
Yeah, hello, John.
Is it so that a state of emergency would unlock things that are unlockable as solutions for the energy crisis were it not for the declaration of the state of emergency?
Yeah, what a sad state of affairs that 25 years after warnings of pending power shortages, the governing party of all that time now finally recognizes that we have a disaster. But I'm skeptical of whether promulgating a formal state of disaster will get us out of load shedding. In my view, the issue is one of implementation. If we had implemented the structural reforms and the new generation capacity advocated in the 1998 Energy Policy White Paper, we wouldn't be where we are now, or again in 2007 and 8 when load shedding started, again in 14 and 15, another bout of load shedding, and every year since 2018. And again when the energy minister came in 2019, and when the new the National Electricity Crisis Committee some 7 months ago. It's essentially an issue of implementation, John, in my view.
The thinking, and it's not always easy to see exactly what the ANC is thinking, because I'm not sure the ANC always knows what it is thinking, but the thinking seems to be that you can throw more money at the problem, and if you throw more money at the problem will be solved more quickly.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the issue either. You know, if we're talking about money, particularly finance for new power generation, that's essentially coming from the private sector. And so the issues are essentially in the enabling environment and the regulatory mechanisms to enable that. I mean, just take a feed-in tariff as one example, which has been quoted frequently and is now one of the proposals of NECON. If that's put in place, it opens a potential floodgate of further investment coming into the sector. I mean, what worries me, John, around these proposals is there's a sense, as you intimated in your introduction, a sense of panic prior to the elections. So there's not, in my view, a lot of clear thinking. In fact, I think it's a dangerous time. There are a lot of people in the ANC movement now coming to the fore with all sorts of proposals, but not really informed with the in-depth analysis that has happened over the past years, where there is, as I've intimated, some clarity on what needs to be done, but it's a question of doing it now.
More money would have made it possible for Eskom to buy and use more diesel, which would have meant that the load shedding stages that we've been suffering through would have been one or two stages less. So, you know, state of emergency is not going to persuade Treasury to give money to Eskom to buy diesel, which Treasury hasn't been ready to give to Eskom without the state of emergency. So,
exactly, You don't need a... And let's get our... terminology right, John. It's a state of disaster.
Sorry, yeah.
State of emergency would be pretty dire.
There is a power emergency, so we need a state of disaster to make it less of an emergency.
Sorry. I mean, what worries me about this, and a number of people have said this, is if it's not intuitively clear what is necessary to move things along, Why are they, in fact, pushing this state of disaster? And what some are saying is that it would enable procurement to be short-circuited. It would enable public participation and scrutiny to be short-circuited. And so something like the car powerships deal maybe could be a fast-tracked, but it won't be immune to legal challenges, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's it. And if they say, look, we're not bothering about the potential environmental damage that might be caused to our ocean by car powership, we are giving emergency for them to moor off Cape Town tomorrow, then environmental groups will go to court straight away and that'll be stopped. The issue of shortcutting the very lengthy procurement processes, does that need a state of disaster to be declared to happen? The issue of Eskom not having to go buy diesel through a middleman, the issue of having to get voluminous permissions before you can bring original equipment manufacturers in to fix things rather than work through a South African middleman. Do those need a state of disaster to be changed?
Yeah, John, so all of those issues are currently being tackled, and significant progress has been made. Sure, there's still some hiccups. There's still some areas that need to be smoothed. But serious doubts whether you need legislation around a state of disaster to facilitate those regulatory reforms.
Yeah, so there's an enormous amount of suspicion being funneled at me through our WhatsApp line around this issue. You know, going back to the more money there is floating around to deal with a state of disaster, the more money that is going to be siphoned off. And if there is a state of disaster declared, then I'm quite sure it will be accompanied by a declaration that the government is going to be absolutely hawk-eyed, that money doesn't leave the system, and I'm not sure we can trust them to achieve that.
Well, that statement was made in the COVID state of disaster, and we saw what happened there.
Might the declaration of a state of disaster hold back other processes? So might it prove to be a neutral actor in the play, as it were? Might it prove to be a villain in the play?
Yeah, no, my view is that I think it's a diversion, and it could well slow some of the other regulatory reforms that could and should happen. I mean, I you know, John, I was fairly positive, and that's hard to be in the current situation, around some of the work that was done last week in NECON. And there was a new purpose and a new urgency around fast-tracking some of these remaining bits of red tape. And I think there is a real danger in the state of disaster, say, well, that's going to get us out of it. But in fact, then we get mired in legal challenges around powerships, rather than thinking about what needs to be done to actually bring gas as a sustainable basis to complement variable renewable solar and wind. So, yeah, that is a real danger. And I think there's a lot, as I said earlier, a lot of ill-informed debate currently within the ANC around solutions to this crisis.
Thank you very, very much to Professor Anton Eberhardt.